We're going to be in Acts chapter 16 tonight. Acts chapter 16. And something interesting about this sermon, I probably prepared most of it a year ago, and I wanted to do it. I can't remember exactly what happened, if I wasn't allowed to preach that evening, or if the Lord, I think the Lord probably put something else on my heart, and I didn't have peace to do it. So I wasn't able to do it, but I have peace about it now. And so tonight's message is don't go there, but tonight we're going to go there, all right? So Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at not going there, don't go there. Has there ever been a time, Mark, am I? I'm okay? Okay, Mike's okay? All right. Question for us, has there ever been a time that you wanted to go somewhere or do something, but you were not allowed? You weren't allowed to do that. Something prohibited you from doing what you wanted to do. How did you feel when you were told no? Did you scream, kick, and cry bloody murder? Or were you obedient to it? I think of a child that wants to go into the toy aisle, or maybe the candy aisle, and the kids wanting to run, make a beeline there. Not that I know this from personal experience, because usually I'm going along with the girls to the toy aisle and to the candy aisle. But a good parent would say no. So the child is running to these goodies, wants to go there, and the mom takes him by the hand and says, no, we've got to go and check out the vegetables. You know, it was the better thing. They needed to go there. Another time, I remember when I was younger, a little kid, we would pass the Dairy Queen. And actually, things haven't changed much. But we'd pass the Dairy Queen, and I wanted to go to the Dairy Queen. I love the Dairy Queen. And I asked my dad, Dad, can we go to the Dairy Queen? And my dad would give one of those responses, no. Okay. So what would I do as a seven-year-old boy? I would look over at my sister, cute, adorable. Well, some people thought that. And I would say, hey, Amy, why don't you ask Dad if we can go to the Dairy Queen? And she would get that little look in her eye, bat her eyes. Daddy, can we go to the Dairy Queen? Guess what? It didn't happen every time, but we get to go to the Dairy Queen. It was great. I could use my... Anyways, my sister was much better for more than just that. But anyways, there were times that we wanted to do something in all of our lives. There's things that we want to do. There's things, places that we want to go, but something prohibits us. We're either told we shouldn't go, we can't go, but we're stopped. Our life is a journey full of twists and turns, stops, yields, and sometimes sprints. At some times, it would be nice if we had a GPS for life, wouldn't it be? I don't go anywhere without my phone. That's good and bad. I like using Google Maps. When we go on a trip, I have Google Maps up, and I'm watching it, and I'm listening to it, and it gets us there 99% of the time. Now, there's a little bit of a divide in our family. Some people think Siri is better. I don't quite think so. I have seen Siri lead us down the wrong path. I have seen Siri put us in the wrong place. And anyway, so I don't know if you guys are a Google Maps or a Apple Maps kind of person listening to Siri. I prefer Google. But wouldn't it be nice if we had a GPS for our own lives that would say, okay, open up the door. Okay, get out of bed. Well, we do have alarms, but something that just directs us day in and day out. Go to work. Don't go to work. Stay here. Go here. You know what? You need to go out to eat today. No, you need to go home and eat peanut butter sandwiches. Whatever it might be. Wouldn't it be nice to have that GPS saying, okay, turn here, stop here, go, wait, and everything else? We don't necessarily have that, do we? Especially when the U-turn comes in. We don't have that, but we do have something so much better than an electronic GPS. If you're saved here tonight, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And He will guide you, He will direct you, and He will help you every step of the way. It's much better than Siri, trust me. It's much better than Google Maps. The Lord is wonderful. In John 16, 13, it says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. It does not say that He will lead you into a brick wall, or down the dead-end road, or off a cliff, Siri may. But the Holy Spirit won't. And as silly as this sounds, we need to remember that He will not lead us astray. He will lead us right along God's perfect will. He won't put us into false doctrine. He won't put us into a bad church. He won't put us into harm's way. No, the Bible says that He will lead us into truth. A psalm that is familiar to all. Psalm 23, starting verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, somebody that guides and protects. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, not a field full of dried rocks, a ridden wasteland. He leadeth me beside the still waters, not the raging rapids. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He knows where we need to go. He'll be there every step of the way. We need to be spirit-filled. We need to be led by the Spirit. The problem is that many times we want to do the leading. We get ahead of God. Sometimes we get behind God. But ultimately, we want to say where we want to go, what we want to do. In fact, it's kind of like giving the keys. We don't want to give the keys up to the car. I don't like giving the keys up to the car. I don't know if it's a man thing or not, but I like driving. I like being in control, I guess. But we don't, in our lives, want to give the keys up and give them to God and be the passenger and let him take us down the path that he knows is best for us. But sometimes God doesn't want us to take a particular path or route that may look best to us. He doesn't want us to take the scenic route. Sometimes the shortest route is not the best route. Okay. Now, I do have another story about this when we were in California with Anna Fisher. I don't know if I should go there or not. GPS, shortest route. We ended up in the middle of the desert. And then the GPS was saying go straight, but there's an 8-foot wall of sand. And the road went this way. So we followed the road. But we made it out alive. The Lord saved us that time. But no, the shortest route is not always the best. The best route is the one that God wants us to take. And we need to make sure that we stay on that. Sometimes he wants us to stop. And sometimes he wants us to go. And there's other times, especially when we're not sure what we need to do, he's working in us. He's working through us. And he just wants us to wait. Pause where we are at until he gives the next direction. In fact, we are going to look at a passage where God told the apostle, no. And wait. And go. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 4. Acts 16:4, it says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Do you see that? They were forbidden. "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but," what does it say again? "The Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas." In verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen this vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Paul had peace finally of where to go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you so much for this opportunity to open up your word, to share your word. Well, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that has been searching for direction, maybe they've gotten off that perfect path that you have. Oh, Lord, I pray that tonight that you'll work in the hearts, that we'll see people to get back on the road that you want us to do, to be surrendered, no longer wanting to take the keys to the car, but giving them to you, Lord. Please guide and direct, Father. May you move in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray, Father, please use me. I'm so imperfect. Father, I need you now. I pray that you'll guide and direct me in all that I say and do. Father, and may you get all the honor and glory, Lord. I love you, Lord, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So let's take a closer look at Paul's journey and how the Holy Spirit led him step by step, day by day. The very first thing we see is that the Holy Spirit said, stop! Okay, no. He didn't say, yell stop. But again, he said, stop. Paul had just come from Derbe and Lystra. Great things were happening. Churches started, souls saved, growing rapidly. But it was time to move. In fact, he had just met Timothy for the second time and had Timothy join them on this trip. So Paul was ready to move on and wanted to go to Asia. But the Holy Spirit said no. Verse 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. For some reason, God would not allow Paul to go into Asia. Instead, the Holy Spirit directed him to continue westward. And they, in verse 7, and they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So after moving past Asia, he wanted to go north into Bithynia, but the Lord said no also. Now, I ended up finding a map so that it would bring home the point of what we were dealing with. Now, I forgot my little laser pointer. Actually, I couldn't find it. And if we could have that up. So it's not the largest, so I hope it's kind of you can understand. But this is the trip that Paul took on his second mission trip. And in the middle of it, you see Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, and then Phrygia. Now, this is modern-day Turkey. And he had some options after he was leaving there. His first intention was to go south into the region of Asia. This would allow him to circle back around, hit some of the churches that he met the first time he was in Turkey, talk to them, and then go back home. It would have been a shorter trip. But the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go down through that way. And then as they traveled on a little bit farther northward, as they were heading to Troas, which they didn't know at the time, he wanted to go up to Bithynia. Now, Bithynia would have been a nice trip into Greece if the Lord wanted him to go to Greece. It would have been through Istanbul. Actually, I don't know if it was Istanbul or Constantinople at this time. But anyways, it would have gone through that. And the nice thing is, if you see there's not a lot of water. They would have just crossed this little inlet, and they would have been over into what is Macedonia or Greece. But the Lord didn't want him to go up that way. You know, I'm sure Paul would much rather have taken the road than the sea. He had some bad experiences at sea later on, didn't he? But we see here that God did not want him to go south. He did not want him to go north. There was a specific path that would lead him to the coast of the Aegean Sea, to Troas. Maybe the people would have been hostile in those areas. Maybe an earthquake was going to occur. Or maybe it was just the Father's will. When God directs us, we don't need to know the final destination or why we need to go. We just need to be obedient. I'm sure Paul was hoping to avoid again that long sea voyage. I'm sure he's thinking back in the Old Testament, boat, Jonah, that whale may still be in there, or a descendant. I don't want to get up there. Okay, Lord, I'm going to stay close to you. Wait, I guess if you want me to go this direction, I will. But I'd rather be on land. No. Okay, I'm going to follow that. But he knew that God had a plan. And all that he was to do is to be obedient for that moment to the Lord's leading. Not worry about what was going to happen the next day, but take these next steps as he followed the Spirit. So Paul had been told, no, don't go there. Don't go to the south. Don't go to the north by the Holy Spirit. But now God wanted him to go from Troas to Macedonia. So we see here, secondly, he was to go. In verse 8, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, saying, come over unto Macedonia, and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, he didn't tarry, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. At Troas, God reaffirmed the correct path that Paul was supposed to take. Yes, there were other routes to get there, but there was only one perfect route that he was supposed to take. A ferry trip over to Macedonia. And again, this wasn't a luxury cruise liner that they were to take. It wasn't as much of a sailboat that we see nowadays that are used for leisure. This is a rickety old wood boat with an unpredictable sea, with no weather channel app to help guide them of what storms were coming. But he had the greatest GPS in the Holy Spirit. Paul was yielded to the Holy Ghost and completely surrendered his own will to follow God. And at night, in a vision, God directed Paul for his next step. It was time to go. Now, there are many examples in the scriptures of God leading his people time in and time out to go, to stop, to wait. The Jewish nation, 40 years in the wilderness, and when they were leaving Egypt, Exodus chapter 13, if you turn there with me, Exodus chapter 13. We see another way how God led his followers. Exodus 13, starting in verse 21. It says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Although God does not necessarily use pillar of clouds or pillars of fire today, or even visions, he has given us an even greater guide, every single one of you that know Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We also need to remember, if God wants us to stop, it's not forever. Did Paul stop forever, set up the tent maker's shop there in Troas? No. God spoke to him through a vision at night, and he said, go. And we see Paul immediately being obedient, not waiting for the better ship to go across or the better timing or anything like that, but he went immediately. We need to be ready to go when he says go. Then we need to go when he says so. We need to be obedient. So now, why did God send Paul this way at this specific time? Why? We don't always know why he wants us to do things and where he wants us to go. We may not always know why, but God did record in his word why this time, so that we can see that God ultimately had a plan for Paul. And I will tell you, he ultimately has a plan for each and every single one of us. Paul had a special appointment that needed to be made at a very specific time. So we see, thirdly, a reason. The reason was that he was going to go to jail. Wait, what? Yeah, that was the reason. He was to leave at that time specifically for that purpose because he had a date to be thrown in jail. That was it. No, that's not it. It's much more than that. Well, you can question, why jail? Wasn't he obedient to God? Wasn't he following God's leading? Yes, he was. Absolutely he was. 100%. That may not sound right to us. It may not look like the way that God, we would think that he would work in Paul's life. But that was God's will for Paul at that time. Now let's read. On to verse 13. Now this is a little bit of scripture, so get ready, okay? But I want to take us through this whole series of events when he lands in Macedonia and what occurs and what blessings come forth from it. In verse 13 it says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by the soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. So we see God working in multiple things already. But we're not quite there yet, where I wanted to land at. Verse 19, And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." This sure doesn't sound so good so far, does it, for being obedient to God's word, to his will. But it continues on. we can see where Paul and Silas had the right spirits. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they were depressed and moped and couldn't believe what they had gotten into. No, that's not what it says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing that the prisoner doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that all the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and in verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Wow. Wow. Talking about having the right attitude in a bad situation. But you have somebody that was yielded to the Lord, obedient in all things, knowing that whatever came was for the good, for God's honor. Only God could have orchestrated such a meeting. In the region of Macedonia, there was a jailer that needed Christ. And God sent him a messenger, specifically Paul, not through the way of Bithynia or through Asia, but over to Troas and across the sea to Macedonia. And yes, in our eyes, it would seem that there could have been an easier, less painful way. But let me remind you, God knows best. He knew when and where Paul needed to be. So if Paul would have gone to Asia, this jailer very well may have died and gone to hell. If Paul would have traveled north to Bithynia, then a family would not have gone to heaven. If Paul had tarried in Troas, the earthquake would have happened and the appointment would have been missed. You see, God knows what is best. His timing is absolutely perfect. He knows when we need to go somewhere. He knows when we need to stop. He also knows how long we should wait until we go again. We just need to be obedient. We need to be searching for His will in our life, His leading in all things. There have been multiple times in my life where I've seen God work in ways that I look back and I'm dumbfounded of how He's put everything together, how He's allowed things to work out. One of them being a job to Ruby, a dream job, working with my best friend from pharmacy school. My eyes were saying, this is what I'd want, to leave Fairmont General, to go to Ruby, to get out of the pharmacy into this direction. Wow, what an opportunity. My partner in crime from pharmacy school. But as I prayed, as I sought God's counsel and wisdom in it, as I sat down, I remember in Pastor Bob's living room and him talking to me so wisely and guiding. I saw where God was saying, David, stop. You don't need to go there. You shouldn't go there. This is not the right place, the right time, or anything like that. Thankfully, this time I listened. And it wasn't soon after that, God called me into the ministry. I surrendered. And He ended up taking us to Tennessee. And hallelujah, He brought us back to West Virginia. But if I had gone to Ruby, as everything dictated I should go, and as kind of I wanted to, I would have missed the boat. I would have missed what He had in store. I may have very well gone off on a different path. I'm so thankful for Him, so thankful for the Lord and His guidance. There's another thing I had to touch base with Mitch earlier, a month or so ago. He was out with the teens going door knocking. And as you know, this time of year, it starts getting darker earlier at night. And they were about ready to hang it up. In fact, Mitch was ready to come back. It was getting dark. Don't talk to anyone else. And there was a guy, I guess, cutting grass down over the hill. And I don't know why he did, but he listened to a barker. Autumn Barker said, you know what? We need to go see that guy that's cutting grass. But wait, it's dark out. It's getting dark. He's got to get his grass cut. He probably stinks. No, I don't know. I don't know what Mitch was thinking and stuff, but what is that? A little bit. Okay, a little bit, probably all the above. But Autumn said, you know what? I think we need to go talk to him. And through the little voice and through the stirring, and somehow Mitch was yielded to the Lord through a whole bunch of things of him being directed, they went down and talked to this guy. And he stopped his mower, even though it was almost dark. And they opened up the Word. And he got saved. I've been in those places before, and I talk myself out of going down there thinking, well, they're not going to want to talk about it. They're in a hurry. They're in a rush. All these different things. I got to get back. What did I miss? What opportunities did God have that I missed the boat on? Yeah, I may have made the boat at Ruby, but there's been multiple other times. Meetings of passing people in the hallways, and God puts it on my heart to talk to them. But I'm in a hurry. I'm in a rush. I didn't stop when God told me to stop. And I may have missed something. And I'm going to suffer loss when I get to heaven because I'm going to realize what I missed, what I can't give back to the Lord. We need to be yielded. We need to be willing to go when He says go. The door knocking thing has been a wonderful thing. Yes, it's not my favorite. Well, it's becoming one of my favorite things of going out and knocking on a door. It's kind of exciting. You never know what you're going to get behind the door. Could be a hello. Could be a no. Could be a slam in the face. Could be a dog. All these different things. But through the outreach of going door to door, nothing grand. Just simply going up, knocking on the door. Hi, I'm David Meyer. Please don't judge the rest of the church, but I'm from Victory Baptist Church. Would you like to come? By the way, do you know where you'd go if you died today? Would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? Through the outreach of the men and women in this church going out, we've had so many new visitors coming in. We've seen souls saved. And what is it? It's just being obedient to the Lord, doing what He said we were supposed to do. And when He says go, when He puts it on your heart to go, we need to go. Just the other day, I knew I needed to get out. There was a small section that Mark and I hadn't hit off a speedway. I knew I needed to get over there, but I was down to about 15 minutes before the van came back, and I started making the excuses. Lord, I don't have enough time to get over there and back. No one's going to be there anyways. And have you guys ever been like this before? Maybe it's just me with this battle going on in my head. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going. So I hopped in the car. Is Steve Garrett in here? Steve's not in here. Okay. I kind of went the speed limit. Got over there, parked. And the first couple houses, nobody was there. But then a guy came out around the corner that was working outside, and I got to talk to him. He didn't get saved then, but he did take the track. I told him that God loved him, Jesus died for him, that he could be saved by reading that track. And I invited him to church. I'm just there to plant, to sow, to water. The Lord's the one that gives the increase. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God really did put it on my heart that I needed to get over there. And after I saw him, and I handed it to him with joy, I was like, this is why you wanted me to go over here right now, Lord. I'm sorry I almost missed that for you. Now, the next door was a little more interesting. I'm glad I got to go there also. But again, we don't know what we're going to miss when we don't obey what God wants us to do. Now, in our decisions, we need to make sure they are God's will in our life and in His timing. When praying for God's leading and searching for His direction, we should evaluate several things. And there's a couple things to just look at and ponder as you go to bed tonight. When you're looking to see if it's God's will in your life, make sure first and foremost that your plans are in harmony with God's Word. It's not God's will if it goes against His Word, against His leading. Make sure your plans, our plans, my plans are in harmony with God's Word. If you've got a big decision, if you've got a small decision, and you're not sure, seek wise counsel. Ask a mature Christian for advice. I'm so thankful for all the years that Pastor Bob was there. Somebody to go to ask for advice. And he would sit there, open up the Word, quote Scripture, and help lead and guide. And the Lord took him, but we have many more people here. We have another pastor that loves us, that would love to sit down, and we'll sit down to help sort through the things that are going on, the decisions to pray with you about. We need to ask for advice from a mature Christian. We need to check our motive. Is it God, or is it us wanting something, or not wanting something? Also, then we need to pray for doors to be open and closed according to His will. There's been many times in my life, and I've shared this with some of you, that I'm not very smart in those areas. And I look at something, and I'm like, Lord, is this your will for me to do this? Please open and close the doors according to your will so that I won't make the mistake. Because I'm stupid. You're the wise one. You're full of wisdom. If I'm not supposed to go here, Lord, close it for me. Because I don't want to be against your will. I don't want to step out of your perfect will. Please help me, Lord. So these are some things that we can do to help make sure that we stay in the center of God's will, that we're following the GPS of the Holy Spirit, that we're going when He wants us to, that we're stopping and then we're waiting, and so that we don't miss a divine opportunity, a divine appointment that He has for each and every single one of us. And remember, just as Paul was told, don't go there, sometimes the greatest blessing is when the door's closed. We don't know why at that moment, but down the road, we may find out. And when we get to heaven, I believe we will know. With every head bowed, no one looking around.